As Jesus was teaching, he said, "Guard against the teachers of the law of Moses. They love to walk around in long robes and be greeted in the market. They like the front seats in the meeting places and the best seats at banquets. But they cheat widows out of their homes and pray long prayers just to show off. They will be punished most of all." Jesus then was sitting in the temple near the offering box and watching people put in their gifts. He noticed that many rich people were given a lot of money. Finally, a poor widow came up and put in 2 coins that were worth only a few pennies. Jesus told his disciples to gather round him. Then he said, "I tell you that this poor widow has put in more than all the others. Everyone else gave what they didn't need, but she is very poor and gave everything she had. Now she doesn't have a penny to live on." So I was tasked with the widow's mite. And you know me, I never do things easy, do I? I hope that's okay. When I was looking at my commentary, it suggested to look at what went before as part of what understanding what the writer of Mark's Gospel wanted us to see. And often, people preach on the widow's mite when churches look at sacrificial giving, especially in helping us to understand about giving to God. But I'm not going to quite go there tonight, so you can relax a little bit. So let's look and see where we go. In Mark's Gospel, as Mark's writing his Gospel, we often see the scribes, whenever he writes the scribes, it's a shorthand way of naming the opposition to who and what Jesus was about. Okay? So the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees are the religious rulers, and sometimes they were too chuffed about what Jesus was doing. Yeah? We'd all nod our heads with that, yeah? And it would have been shocking back in the day as these so-called religious and pious people. They had given up everything they had to serve and worship God and to teach the scriptures of the day. So that's what their job was. They were the gatekeepers of the kingdom in Jesus' time. The go-betweeners for the people to God. Because that's what they were, the religious people. A bit like the ministers today, the pastors and whatever. And they might even have been the Archbishops of Canterbury and all that kind of stuff, but hey-ho. And Jesus' condemnation of them would have been shocking to most people, but would have brought delight to those who could see their hypocrisy, but might not have the courage to name it. Yeah? And in some ways, you know, like us as nonconformists are a bit like that, aren't we? You know, we don't want to conform with the state faith or whatever. But I'm not wanting to be too hard on them, okay? What we have is Jesus naming their sins, the stuff that they were doing, which he wasn't too happy about. Because they had a kind of pride focusing on their persona, because they had a particular way that they would dress, a bit like me when I'm at work in the hospital and I've got my clerical shirt, and so it's a persona that I wear, which says this is what my job is, and they had this same persona, and they had privilege, but even worse, they had extortion. They liked to parade around, they liked to show off, they liked the best seats, you know. And then it says, they devoured the widow's home and say long prayers. It is they, Jesus says, who will receive greater condemnation. Yeah. And this is the kind of stuff that Jesus says time and again. And it's not that Jesus didn't like prayer or anything, or people using power in a good way, but it's the misuse of prayer, it's the misuse of possession, it's the misuse of power that Jesus is against. It's doing it for personal gain rather than for the corporate. The widow and the offering, it's about the accusation of devouring the widow's home stands out because the widow and the orphan have a special place in God's compassion and sense of justice. Because they're the least of the least. Do you know, they're the least of my brothers and sisters. There's nobody to stand up for them most of the time. And so the people that should stand up for them aren't doing it. And that's what Jesus is saying is wrong. And that's why I included the Ruth reading, so that you could begin to see that this isn't something that I'm just pulling out, but it's there in Scripture. The law is there to support the powerless in society. Goes back to, if we follow the Ten Commandments, love your neighbour, all that kind of stuff, then if we do that, love your neighbour as yourself, then we won't commit adultery, we won't steal, we won't thieve. Do you know what I mean? We don't do all that stuff. There's no need for laws if we all behave properly. We need laws because we don't. So the law's there to support the powerless in society. And to think, in this time, the very ones who were there to help are abusing the responsibility. And that is what is abhorrent. It's easy to take pot shots at some people who are not like us. But how is what Jesus saying? It's not merely gossip and slander. It's what he's seeing. And then we can look at what's happening with Brexit and all that kind of stuff and the European elections and how we voted. And we can all take pot shots at the Tory party and say, oh, look at them, they're a shower of haddies. That's a Glasgow term, I think. But you know what I mean? But you know, they're doing what they think's right. But you know, they have to get back to basics, don't they? It's about the common good. If they're really thinking about what's best for Britain, then get together and talk together and deliberate and do stuff. So we then come to the widow's mite. And as I've said lots of times, or I've already said earlier, this story is used to help us to think about giving to God. The widow gave all she had to God's work. So what about us? It's often how it's preached. Are we willing to show the same kind of faith that hurts? Can we give until it hurts, until it really costs us? Is it Jesus using her to show us how people should give? After just saying, beware of the scribes, we see a scene where the widow's house gets eaten up because she's got nothing left to live on. She's gave it all away, her two copper coins. You know, probably the bane of the people that would count in the, you know, like, they don't mind counting the gold coins, but the copper coins, you know, they get into a mess, don't they? And, you know, really, it takes your time, these little itty-bitty pennies and tuppennies and 5p's and, you know, fivers and tenors are much easier to count. And she gives her little copper coins. Beware of the scribes. And we see this scene where the widow's house gets eaten up. So what does happen? Well, Jesus and his disciples are sitting watching people put money into the chest that sit in the temple court. He's took his something. He says, come and we'll sit here and let's watch. And he's watching. The chests were out in the open. It's not like the little bags that go around and you just... And because they're out in the open, it could encourage a sort of a pious charity competition. You know, who can put most in? It reminds me about being in the Congo. Whenever they do the offering there, they would, you know, pass the plate around. And then you know, like the women would put money into one plate and the men would put into another plate and they'd be counting it as they go along, say, ah, we're having a competition, do you know, like the women are giving more than the men, so come on men, go back around again and put more in. Do you know, it's not that kind of competition. But you know, even in a situation like that, people still give with pure intent. Jesus seeing what the others can't name. Here is the greatest. Here is what the greatest is. The least looks like. And it appears to be the least is the greatest. Do you know? Jesus doesn't care about money or the show of it. He's already named the religious institution as corrupt in its wealth. Is he condemning or commending a kind of giving that makes an already poor widow even more impoverished? Is he commending her selfless act of giving to a corrupt system run by people who don't even care for people like her? I think, more than likely, as I've already said, the scribes are, they don't really like copper coins. And so I don't think the writer is using this story for a purpose about the generosity of the widow. But yet, is it? Just because it's here doesn't mean to say that's the only understanding for this story. And just because Jesus says this doesn't mean he's endorsing or encouraging us to do the same. Even if we need to encourage people to think about how we give to God's work. But it could be seen as a bit of a lament. You know what a lament is? Do you know something to be sad about? Having just spoken about how people can be abused, he could be saying, there goes another one. Just like I told you, they're abusing the widow. In the next chapter, we see Jesus talking about the temple, and the whole thing is about exposing what should be doing good as not coming up to standards. Yet, I want to say, the lament of this widow contains a message of good news.
Hallelujah.
For the good news is, in spite of the widow's plight at a corrupt system or a corrupt leadership, in spite of her well-intentioned but ignorant giving to a sick system preying on people like her, God does see what's going on. God does see her plight. God does know her situation. God does know her heart. And God is doing something about it. Jesus is the one who can lament about the corruption and still give his life to bring down every stone so that not one remains upon another.
Amen.
There are many who would lament about society and even the church and refuse to come and to worship their God because of how people have been behaving. They see the hypocrisy and then talk about people like you, whom they perceive as a poor, ignorant people being taken advantage of by the system. And I would say that's not true, because I believe that you're all faithful people and that we are not taking advantage of you. So yes, it can be read as a lament and as a warning to those who might or could abuse positions and people. But it's also about an encouragement to the faithful not to give up. Continue to serve God because he understands our motives and our good intentions. God is bigger than our ignorance, bigger than all the institutions that bear his name and do what they see as God's work. I truly believe that God is on the side of the little person, the powerless, the ones who can't stand against the Goliaths. God sees and knows and is working towards a just end.
Hallelujah.